Hello, everyone. Welcome to Just Getting By, episode 44, for Wednesday, the 16th of November, 2011. My name is Craig Jones, and I am joined, as always, by Chemslave. Hello, Chemslave.
Hey, Cracker.
I know what you want to talk about. Okay. How have you been the past 2 days?
It's Wednesday, middle of the week. It could be better. It could be worse.
Yes. Yes, it definitely could be. All right. So we have a interesting show planned for you today. Some things that are annoying. Some things that are scary. And some things that are just plain funny. And one of the things that I want to begin with, and evidently so do you, is talking about how graham crackers could be very, very controversial. So, Chemslave, this is your story. Why don't you take it away?
Well, there's some kid, guy from the Texas Christian University who's running for some type of student government position, and he had a poster and a slogan, graham cracker Macmillan for SGA VP external, whatever that is. And the school told him, hey, yeah, that's offensive. You don't want to do that because this cracker is derogatory. And it could offend some people.
Yeah, you know what? I know this seems ridiculous, but I agree with the school. You know, if you look at the poster that he made, it's obvious what he was going for. His name is Graham Macmillan. And he has Graham, and then in quotes, Cracker Macmillan. He's obviously, you know, playing on the racial name Cracker, which means a white person. And I don't think that's appropriate.
We should take back the word cracker. Black people call themselves niggers all the time.
I know.
We're calling ourselves crackers.
I know. And I are you there?
Yes.
Oh shit! I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry. I'm using Bluetooth headset, and sometimes it'll pop in and out of connection. But I'm back now. Anyway, Chemslave, I see what you mean about taking back the name Cracker because of the fact that black people call themselves the N-word. But, you know, I disagree with it.
We're referring to the word. It's not offensive.
I'm still not going to say it. But I totally get what you mean intellectually. But I think both nigger and cracker harken back to a time in America that is not a positive time. And it's a time that too many people, too many black leaders in America, want to go back to, just in reverse. Too many black leaders want their own community to view white people as the enemy. It's the exact opposite of what was the problem just a few decades ago. And I think if we start to embrace racial names like Cracker, I think we will be playing into their hands to a certain extent. Our society should be beyond such language and such monikers. And I fully support the school saying, you know what, this is not appropriate.
Couldn't you also say that, hey, maybe he's hearkening to the graham cracker?
No.
The delicious treat where you put
no.
Graham
that's
cracker
a...
and
no.
S'mores?
No. Yeah. No. For one thing, he's white, and he has cracker in quotes, so he's putting emphasis on it, and he's using it. He's saying that, you know, this is an addition, this is a nickname, and it's obvious what he's referring to, and it's cute because his first name is Graham and Graham Cracker, but it's still obvious what he's referring to, and it's not the It's not the crack.
Maybe they got the nickname because his first name is Graham, and Graham Cracker. Why must we obviously always first look into the racial side of things and maybe just look at the fucking obvious and say, hey, his name is Graham?
Well, I think it's obvious that that's what he was going for. Because his name is Graham, that it works. But still, I think it's being willfully ignorant to say, oh, he's just talking about the cookie, and he's there's no other connotation that is meant by him. I think that's being deliberately. I'm trying not to be too insulting because I don't want to make it sound like I think that you're a racist or anything.
I think looking at the word as, hey, this must mean it's racist, as racist, because your mind is already set to look at everything as in this black and white. Okay, I can't say this because this is racist. This is racist. You're sort of already in this racist mindset.
And I would be the first one to agree with you in most cases, but just looking at the poster that he has, it's to me, it's obvious what he's going
Maybe
for.
Maybe I'm an idiot. Maybe I just don't see it.
So you genuinely think that the only thing here is in reference to the cookie, the graham cracker cookie, the thing that you eat, and that's the only reference on this poster?
See, there's this thing called, you can look into it and say one thing or the other thing. It's just that some people are just predisposed in this PC society that anytime they see something, it must be the negative side of what they are supposed to be seeing.
And I would so often agree with you, but there are some things that are just not in good taste, and this is not in good taste. And we can agree to disagree, obviously.
So I wonder if there's some dude named Mike Nigeria, or Nigerian, and he had Mike Nigger Nigeria. Would that also be negative?
Yes. Yes. It would be.
It's his name.
No, Nigeria is his name, not the other one.
See, but my name is Andrew. People call me Drew, Andy. Hey, they just sort of rip off parts of my name. I don't see anything offensive with that.
Well, the thing is that you would not typically rip off that specific portion of Nigeria's name. You're purposely doing that, and that's purposely referencing something that you know has painful memories for a lot of people in this country.
And I really think people are very overly sensitive about a lot of things.
I agree with you. But there is still that element of good taste and class that has to be thought of. And this is not a classy thing. This is not a good taste thing. It's just not. You know, we could spend too much. I know we've spent almost 10 minutes talking about this, and it's a very inconsequential story. So let's move on. But it's an interesting thought experiment. Who in the audience agrees or disagrees with Kem Slave or myself? And we'd love to hear what you have to say. Email us. Our email address is feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com, and tell us what you think. This is a fascinating story. I don't want to cut you off, though. Do you have anything you want to say before we move on?
Yep. I feel like I'm the enemy, so I'm just not going to open my mouth.
No. That's not what I want. That's not what I don't think you're the enemy. I'm just saying, my point of view is one thing, and your point of view is the other. In my opinion, that is not in good taste. And a lot of people's ideas of good taste are different. That's all. Okay, everybody. Also, email ChemSlave and tell him that he's not the enemy. Give him some nice feedback. I think he has had his feelings hurt, and
There's a tear running down my cheek. I'm just joking.
Give him some hugs in the email, some kisses, XOXOXO. You know, I think he can use it. Yeah.
Okay, let's get back to stories.
All right. We go from that to pornography. Always a good subject.
Which one are we talking about?
Yeah, we have several here. I'm talking about Sasha Grey. Not someone I'm familiar with personally, by the way. I don't typically go for the highly produced pornos. But this is a smoking hot woman, I must say. She has a marvelous looking face. I you know, I'm very attracted. She is absolutely my type of lady, I must say. And Miss Gray wants to start reading to elementary school kids as like a...
Not that she wants, she already did it.
Yeah, that's true. You're absolutely right. She already did. And that elementary school that invited her to read to these kids is under a lot of criticism from parents because of that. Parents don't like the idea of a major pornography star reading to their little kids. Now, Chemslave, she wasn't reading excerpts from the transcript of one of her movies, now, was she?
I don't know what she was reading, but she definitely wasn't reading one of those.
No, it was a kid's book. I forget what I don't even know if the article that we read references exactly what she was reading, but it was not something terrible, I must say. I personally don't see the problem with this. I mean, she's a smoking hot lady, and she wants to read to little kids, and as long as the book is not smutty, I don't see the problem. If those kids are aware of what she does for a living, then the parents need to do a lot of self-introspection, and they need to start thinking to themselves, maybe it's me that's fucking up. Maybe it's not her. Well, she is fucking up, but that's a different kind of fucking up.
Well, if you finish reading the article, she's actually getting off of the porn industries now, just trying to go into being an actress.
They all say that.
Well, she actually was in an HBO show, Entourage, and she was also in The Girlfriend's Experience.
I know. All these porno actresses, especially ones that get a little bit of, get a little bit of momentum, all say, "I'm an actress. I want to become an actress, not just a porn star. I want to be an actress," and they legitimately think that they will become actresses, and they apply for these bit parts, and they get a resume of small little walk-on appearances or maybe a few comments here or there on some TV show that is not a porno, and they call themselves an actress. I mean, this is so... You see this all the time, especially with porn actresses. They want desperately to get out of that job because it's a demeaning job and they don't... You know, they want to be treated as a serious, you know, actress, performer. Don't read too much into that. I'm still calling this woman a porn actress. I'm not a porn star. I'm not willing to say that she is a legitimate, you know, like Hollywood actress yet.
Holy shit! If you go into her IMDb page, yes, this is an interesting list.
I'm gonna go there right now.
Okay, if. Nazi for work. Shit to buy.
Linda Lovelace. Oh my god. Skinny dip. Would you rather? The girl from the naked eye. Oh, this is a good one. She appeared in this and to this one. This is the most mysteriously named movie I've ever seen in my life. The movie's name is Fuck Sasha Grey. Oh god. A butt sex bonanza. Seinfeld, a triple X parody. Masturbation Nation 3. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm having too much fun with this. I oh my god.
This one's for you. This ain't Star Trek triple X.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, let's get some more serious.
Yeah,
topics.
I know. But you see my point though. This is not an actress. This is a porn star. You didn't even say what you thought though. I don't have a problem with her reading.
Personally,
reading
skills. I have no problem either. I just find that everyone just sort of gets overly hot and bothered by her being a porn actress.
Yeah.
Where you never know. Like, for whatever parents, like, if a parent comes in for show and tell and brings in, like, a toy or something because their kid forgot, and guess what? She's the pole dancer from Mustang Sally's down the street. You're not, no one's going to get offended if she walks in, but if she reads a book, oh my god, people are going to be pissed.
That's right. All right, so let's move on to spanking, and not in the sexual kind of way, in the disciplinary kind of way. So, you know, Kim say there's this idea that when parents spank their kids, it could be considered child abuse. In fact, very famously,
many who believe that.
I know, yes. And very famously, earlier in the year, a Virginia court ruled that a mother, I believe, was guilty of child abuse for spanking her kid, and the judge said, "You just don't do that in 2011." So we have two stories dealing with when is spanking abuse. So I wanted to get your opinion on this because this goes to a wider ranging topic that we have been discussing over the history of the show, which is the lack of personal freedom and the corruption of children and the idea that they can be turned against their parents and made to, and the parents can be made to look like monsters. So what do you think about this issue?
Well, I think there is a very distinct and very thick line between child abuse and parents disciplining their children.
Yeah.
Many people just don't see that very thick line. It's one thing to give your kid a few smacks on the back of their rear or smack in their wrist or something like that if they're touching something they shouldn't be. Well, that's should be generally allowed. There's another thing of like taking out your like belt and just belting the kid for like 10-20 minutes. But if you're actually doing that, there is something horrendously wrong with you. You should be locked up. That is child abuse. But if you're like, take your kid over your knee and just give him a few smacks on the rear, there should be no reason that the courts should have any say in what you're doing.
That's right. Typically, spanking shouldn't last more than a few seconds and consists more than three or four, sharp slaps to the behind. That's basically, you know, what spanking is, and anything more than that, it does start to get into abuse territory. But you're absolutely right. There is a very thick line, very obvious line, and it's one that 99.999999% of parents would not cross. Now, in generations past, that line moved. In generations past, more severe forms of punishment, longer episodes of flagellation, with a cane or with a belt, were seen as more appropriate than they would be seen today. That would definitely be abuse today, and I would support, just as you would, it sounds like, calling that abuse, but in generations past, that would not have been abuse. But in the year 2011, there is still a very legitimate place in the raising of children for the method of spanking. It's not that big a deal. It shouldn't be happening all the time. But if a kid does something, you know, significant in a negative way, that endangers his own safety or can be destructive in some way, that kid needs to be taught very quickly not to do that.
Yeah, I only remember like a handful of times my parents ever actually did it. And the one time that actually I just remember is I had like a ball peen hammer. And there was a car battery.
Oh, Jesus.
I decided to hammer on the car battery and actually busted a hole into it.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah. I got a few slaps on the back because of that.
Oh, God. All right. So, what else do we need to talk about here? We are facing an extinction epidemic.
Oh, God, what's happening? Who died now?
Evidently, the Western Black Rhino.
Oh, it's gone. Really? So?
Yeah.
Why should we care?
Because, you and I, because of the fact that we are alive and breathing, are killing off these innocent animals. And each death is blood on our hands. That's why. Yeah, I know that.
What book are you getting this from? I'm reading the wrong books, I think.
I know. It's just, this story. I saw that the black rhino was made extinct, maybe 20 times over the past week. And it's just amazing to me that we spend so much time discussing this. Animals come and go all the time. Now, Chemslave, I'm going to take you on a little trek through geological memory lane, if you don't mind. There have been 5 major great extinction events in the history of Earth for as long as it has supported plant life. The first big extinction event was at a time period known as the Permian. It was at the end of the Paleozoic era, which is the era of Earth's history where plant life just began to flourish. And at the when the Permian extinction event happened, 95% of life on Earth was made extinct. But through that evolutionary bottleneck, the 5% that did survive radiated out and came to represent the dinosaurs, among many, 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 many other forms of animal life. And then at the end of the Cretaceous period of the Mesozoic era, the fifth mass extinction event occurred. And I skipped the three intermediary ones. They were not. Those events had 60-70% of life die. But the Mesozoic, the Cretaceous mass extinction event again saw between 80-90% of life on Earth die. But you know what, Chemslave? We are in the middle of the sixth mass extinction event. Did you know that?
No. I'm learning something new today.
And do you know what causes the sixth mass extinction event?
Yes, I do.
Take a guess. Yeah, okay, you do know? Okay, what is it?
Yes. Homo sapiens. We are destroying everything.
Exactly. That's exactly it. We have evolutionary biologists, climatologists, anthropologists, geologists. We have a whole broad spectrum of people that claim that humanity is bringing about the sixth mass extinction event. As a matter of fact, we have a date, too. It started 600 years ago with the rise of industry And by industry, I'm not obviously talking about the Industrial Revolution. I'm talking about well before then, in the middle, the end of the Middle Ages, with the age of exploration and colonization and that stuff. From that period until now, and into the foreseeable future, human activity is being seen as bringing about what can be easily called, from their point of view, the sixth mass extinction. And we see that narrative continuing with the Great Panda, for instance, in China. Now,
has that animal died out yet?
Nope. But it is pretty pretty endangered, at least in the wild. There's only about 900 pandas in the wild. China is trying... they live in China. And China is trying to conserve panda life, trying to, you know, promote panda breeding, which is difficult because pandas oftentimes are difficult to have breed.
And they don't they go into fake fake pregnancies?
Yeah, well, pandas are bears, all right. They are a they're very closely related to the Kodiak bear, for instance. And all bears have this this fake pregnancy issue, that they start acting like they're pregnant, and in fact they start to produce the hormones that are associated with pregnancy, which means they cannot bear young. They cannot conceive, because their body thinks it's already conceived, and it just won't allow for that. And in fact, they really didn't. Bears in general have this issue. But no, that's not the reason why the panda is facing extinction. It really is. I mean, this is a significant... they are facing extinction because of human, you know, hunting, and because of the destruction of its resources. And so in situations that we can identify animals that need to be protected, I see no reason why we shouldn't protect these animals. I don't want to see the panda go extinct. I don't think anybody else does either. But too often you see them, and what really infuriates me, the polar bear, you see these animals used as posters for saying about how evil humanity is and how we are destroying the environment. Polar bears, by the way, are not even threatened. They're doing just fine. Now, pandas are threatened. They're near extinction, actually. So that is a significant issue, like I said. But a lot of these people will use these issues as political bludgeons to try and, you know, say, like, you know, in this country, conservatives don't care about the environment and just want to see animals die. There's very little constructive discussion about the issue, and too often you see environmentalist groups just say that our way of life needs to totally change in order to save these animals, which is just not true. You there?
No, Craig, I have disappeared.
You scared me for a second there. I don't want to keep talking. No. Yeah. Say something.
I don't know. I agree with you, but truthfully, I'm waiting for a lot of these animals to die, just so at least I don't have to hear about it. Oh my God, we have to save the panda. You have to save the great panda, because you know the panda, it's so cute looking. Look at the picture of the little baby panda. It's like, if it lives, it'll live. If it dies, guess what? It dies. That is the way of life.
It is the way of life, but on the issue of the panda specifically, humanity really has brought about its current state of you know, endangerment. And
just like we killed the black rhino or the dodo bird, or I think it was like, I don't forget what the actual name is, but the Tasmanian dog.
Well, actually, yeah, you're right, the Tasmanian dog. That's exactly it. Yes, absolutely, you're right about all those. And I would argue that in today's society, we would make more of an effort to try and save those animals. Obviously, with the black rhino, we didn't have too much success. But you know what? I haven't looked at this specifically. But I'm willing to bet that the Western Black Rhino is a subspecies of, like, some broader group of black rhinos. And you see this a lot. This forced speciation of animals. This forced definition of animals to make more classifications of animals that can be found to be endangered. Like, you can artificially create 20 subspecies of some animal with very little differences, but say that, you know, 5 of them are endangered and use that as, like, a political tool. You see that a lot. You see that a lot with plants.
These 5 live on this side of the mountain, those 5 live on, those 10 live on that side of the mountain.
Yeah. You see that a lot. No, I haven't looked into what the Western Black Rhinoceros was. I haven't seen if that's the case here, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was. Too often you see, you know, animals classified into different subspecies when they really shouldn't be. And it's basically for political purposes. All right, so moving on. Did you know that we cannot wear the American flag? We cannot display the American flag at school. Yeah.
Well, this happened.
Yeah. This, let's take a look here. In California, surprise, surprise, a student wanted to wear a t-shirt with the flag and other pro-American messages on the Mexican Cinco de Mayo a holiday, and he was forced not to. He was banned from doing that by his school. A lawsuit happened, and the school was actually absolved of restricting anybody's First Amendment rights. And the school's concerns that violence, possible violence, was good enough cause to censor the pro-American, you know, messages on those t-shirts.
Damn,
what
right.
Do you think about? Yeah, I know. I'm as skeptical as you are.
I'm for this. Because this is racist what they're doing. What
really?
Do you think of all the Mexican kids who are celebrating Cinco de Mayo? They're trying to take their day away. This is totally offensive. They should be forced to apologize to every single Mexican student in the school.
You're being sarcastic, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay.
I completely agree with the whole thing of this being bullshit.
Oh, you had me concerned for a second there. I was like, what the hell happened to the anti-PC, you know, advocate that we opened the show with? I was like, what the hell? Yeah, in California.
See, if I was being trained to be offensive to these Mexican students, I'd be wearing a French flag.
Oh, yeah, that would be offensive. Explain to the audience why that would be offensive.
Because I believe Cinco de Mayo is a celebration of them winning against the French. I forget what war. I don't know what year. I just know those facts.
Well, very quickly, Mexico went through 2 imperial periods. The first Mexican Empire lasted for a few years, and it was finally overthrown. But then the second Mexican Empire was a monarchy installed by France. It was basically a French invasion of Mexico. And a Frenchman, the brother of Napoleon III, the Emperor of France, was made Emperor of Mexico. And once the French Empire fell in Europe, the Second Napoleonic Empire, the Mexican people overthrew their emperor. His name is Maximilian, Emperor Maximilian I of Mexico. And the final battle that overthrew him is commemorated by Cinco de Mayo. So there you have it. So yes, you're absolutely right. Wearing a French flag would be offensive. I bet a lot of these people, though, these Mexican students, don't even know what the hell Cinco de Mayo is. Hell, we have enough confusion about what the 4th of July means in America. So you have that issue, and that just really annoys me. This is the further war against the majority in America. This is the tyranny of the minority. I say that every show, every Liberty show, I talk about the tyranny of the minority, and this is exactly it.
Guess who the assistant principal is? Miguel Rodriguez.
Oh yeah, no conflict of interest there. Oh yeah, no agenda there. What are you going to say?
I said, no, there's nothing wrong with that, is there?
No, of course not. All right. So, you know what? Staying on the children aspect of this, I guess now experts say, you know it's always good when they start off with that, experts say that kids starting at age 10 should be tested for cholesterol in order to prevent heart disease.
Of course. You can't have kids dying of high cholesterol, can you?
Oh, no, heaven forbid. Yeah. You know what this is? This is just trying to implant the message into people as early as possible that, you know, other people, the government or experts, quote-unquote, other people in authority have the right to interrogate you, test you, detain you, do anything they want to you. That you are a slave to the system. The system can do whatever it damn well pleases with you or your blood or anything else for that matter. This is all that is, in my opinion. What do you think?
To sort of add to this, there's a book called True Enough, Learning to Live in a Post-Fact Society by Farhad Manjoo. I think he writes for Slate, one of his magazines.
I know the name, yeah.
And he talks about how this whole thing about experts on TV. And he sort of had like this like case study where some group hired an actor, Michael Fox, not Michael J. Fox, and they had him like do some spiel in front of like did like a guest lecture at some college about mathematics, and he acted this whole thing out, and everyone ate it up. It's like he made it was this whole made up topic, and he made it up. And then one of the professors sort of asked him like, you know what, this is bullshit. And he's like, and then the actor says like, hey, how could you say this is bullshit? I've been working on this for X number of years. I know what I'm talking about. How long have you studied this? Then the professor says, oh, okay. He sort of shuffles off back into the corner and doesn't say anything again. And sort of, we sort of believe as long as you put this sort of moniker of expert in front of someone's name, that you just believe them.
Yeah, you know what? That is absolutely true. That we have a big, big problem with that. We really do. It's a big problem. And it's one that is going to continue to haunt America and the rest of the world, for that matter, until we wake up and smell the roses. We wake up and say, you know what? We shouldn't allow these bozos to tell us what to do. We shouldn't allow people who have never met us, who don't know anything about us, to say how we should live or what decisions we should make. Or claim to know anything about our health or what's healthy for us. And yet we have these elements in society all the time that claim to know what's best for us. It's terrible.
Oh my God, by fourth grade, 10 to 13% of U.S. children have high cholesterol, defined as a score of 200 or more.
Yeah, and who defines high cholesterol? The doctors. And who tests for high cholesterol? the doctors. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm anti-medication or anything. I'm not. And too often, you get people that throw that cop-out, you know, accusation. You're anti-science. You don't want any medication. You're a wacko. No, no, that's not it. That's not it at all. It's just that you have too many people trying to dope up the population and trying to say, we know what's best for you, but you don't know what's best for you. That's the issue. And it's a big issue.
This is just harkens back to our previous discussion about, like, the whole ADHD and starting at 4 years old.
Yeah.
This is just just trying to get the kids hooked on taking medication from as young as you can possibly can.
It all relates. Yeah.
Yes. Well, there are things like asthma or something where you just, there's no way you can't avoid that because you're saving kids' lives.
Yeah.
Like for stuff like this, the only time you ever hear about it is when they cause a scare and they have you swallow more pills.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so do we have anything else then that we should talk about before we end it for today?
I don't think so.
Neither do I. All right, so if you enjoyed what we had to say, if you disagreed with anything we had to say, especially what we opened up the show with, the cracker slogan thing, please email us. Give us your opinion. Our email address is feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. And then visit our website, justgettingbypodcast.com, in order to see a summary for today's show, a link to download the show, a link to subscribe to our show in iTunes or your podcast client of choice, and to see a list hosted by Delicious of all the stories and plus a few that we discussed on today's show. So with that, you know, Kemp Slave, it's been a good show. It's been a fascinating show, actually. I liked it a lot.